Tonight we continue with our studies on the doctrine of God, His nature and attributes. And this will be part 17. Last week we looked at the fruitfulness of God, as say the veracity of God. And in that we learned that by the perfect and his perfect and immutable attributes, and also his purity and his righteousness, his holiness, and his all-knowing and his wisdom makes it impossible for him to lie, because he knows all things and he's holy, he cannot sin. He's wise, I mean the all-wise God, he's righteous, he always do the things that are right, and that there's nothing that can be charged that is a lie with him. But the Bible declares that God cannot lie, as we look at Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, and also Titus 1 to another verse of scripture. This teaches that God cannot lie, and it is established truth in the Bible that God cannot lie, and that everything he has said is the truth. And we also learn that as God is the God of truth, everything he has said, even as Apostle John said, that concerning salvation of men, as the Lord has given us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and has testified that in him alone is the fullness of salvation, righteousness, and purity, that all who trust in him can be saved, and all who reject this message, they make God a liar. So that that is one of the charge of sinners, unrepentant sinners, that God's testimony by his Son have rejected the God of truth. And we know that when we reject truth, the consequences, with God, God will indeed deal with those who charge him with untruth. So we continue tonight, and tonight we are considering the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. So I'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. First, in our reading that we just read. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. Know therefore that the Lord thy God is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations, and repair them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repair him to his face. And in this passage we are told God is the faithful God. And this is said in the midst of the words of which Moses spoke through, which God gave Moses to speak to the people of Israel concerning, he was encouraging them to keep the commandment the Lord has given them, and he told them of the blessings that will come if they keep God's commandment, and that he also told them how they should be sure and be careful to keep themselves from the nations around, even to destroy all these nations, these seven nations he mentions in verse 1, and that he told them God is faithful, that what he has promised to them, he will accomplish. So they should also be faithful in keeping his word. And this is a great truth about God, and that we see that he tells them, in our verse 9, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations, that God will ever be faithful. The other verses also that speaks of God's faithfulness. We look at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And here Apostle Paul was telling that in verse 8, from verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here he was encouraging the believers that the faith, they have received the gospel, they have believed in God, is God who indeed confirm all the blessings he has promised in it, and that he will confirm them to be blameless, as the Lord has promised to justify sinners and that he will make them so before him, even to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning that when Lord Jesus Christ comes, though believers in ourselves, we can even think of our own unfaithfulness, but because our righteousness depends on Lord Jesus Christ, he will make us blameless before him. And this blamelessness is not from us, because of Christ's righteousness. And that so God is faithful, by whom we were called, so that all the promises of God to believers, so that who has by whom we were called unto the fellowship of the Son. By believers' union with the Lord Jesus Christ and coming to be in him, God, all that God has promised to believers, he's faithful to keep. So this verse also speaks of his faithfulness to believers. And we look at chapter 10, verse 13. That also speaks of God's faithfulness. Chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the same temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So this also, even concern temptation of believers, God has promised to along to us, allow the things that will come upon us, so that if we are faithful to obey him, we'll be able to overcome the temptation that comes on our way. So that we see that any time we fall in temptations, it's because of our own weaknesses. But God has promised that he's faithful, and he will not suffer us to be tempted above all that we are able. He will not allow, by his way, if we should be obedient to him, we will overcome every temptation. And this is the promise of the Lord, and it speaks of his faithfulness. And we can also testify, many times we have been faithful to the Lord and have really observed his way. We have been able to overcome our temptations. But we can also remember times where we have failed, because we knew and we can testify that it was from our own weaknesses and our own unfaithfulness to what the Lord has taught us. So we see that even our temptations, and we can think of our trials and troubles and the temptation that comes in our way, the Lord allows them to come, and he's willing, he's able to keep us if we are obedient to him. So even with temptation, the Lord is faithful to help us. We look at Lamentation chapter 3 also. That passage speaks about God's faithfulness. Lamentation chapter 3. Verse 22 to 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Here, you know, the book of Lamentation were written, and it's about Israel's woes, and the prophet was weeping and mourning the sins of Israel. And he, even in the midst of this, remember that when he has thought of their own unfaithfulness, now he can remember maybe the little mercy that is left for them. It is of the Lord's faithfulness, his own promise to keep a people for himself throughout all times, and the promise to even preserve the people of Israel so the Messiah comes, just by his own faithfulness to keep this unfaithful people of Israel, to even leave them a remnant to represent him as his people. So great is thy faithfulness. It speaks of greatness of God's faithfulness. You see, despite the unfaithfulness of his people, God is ever faithful, because he has promised that he will, the Messiah shall come, and that through the line of the people of Israel, through Abraham and the people of Israel, so that God was faithful to keep even a remnant, even such a people. If you read the history of the people of Israel, we can see the many things that the Lord, even through the prophet, brought to their mind. They rejected, but the Lord was faithful, and that he was merciful. His mercies, by his mercies, they were not consumed entirely. And his compassions, his love and pity and mercy for them, his sympathy for them never failed. And he tells that they are new every morning. And this great faithfulness that God was faithful to his covenant to the people of Israel. So we see that God's faithfulness is mostly seen in his irresistible ability to perform accordingly and efficiently what he had said, whether conditionally or not. God is, when you talk of his faithfulness, it's not just that God is faithful, But is that only He, in Him alone, that faithfulness is constant and perpetual? That He will always be faithful? When we think of faithfulness, and we think of God's faithfulness, we think of not just faithfulness as God, if God will be faithful, but we think of that His faithfulness is ever sure and the same. He never changes from being faithful. He's always faithful. And because we think of human faithfulness, I mean our own faithfulness, people can be faithful. We can say some people are be faithful to their, even their promises, but then we have so many hindrances. But then God, and we are not entirely faithful. Sometimes we are faithful, sometimes we are not. And but for God, it's not that sometimes He was faithful and sometimes He wasn't. It is always with Him to be faithful. And again, it is God who enables faithfulness in His creatures. If ever we have been faithful, or if ever anyone has been faithful, it is because God kept such people to be able to be faithful. The extent to which we can be faithful depends on Him. It's amazing thought. That also, people sometimes think, they are good people and all that. The extent to which we can be faithful depends on Him. Why? Because our own life and its sustenance is from Him. Let's say we made promises, or people made promises to us, and then their lives are cut short, or our lives, were cut short. We cannot fulfill our promises. And we can even testify, many who have made promises, though they truly they may want to, fulfill it, but then their life were cut short. We can think of promises of parents to children. If every parent has good intentions for their children, and they wish to do so much thing for them, but then we know that many a times people have passed away before their children were able to even come to the point where they can even do them what they intended. It tells us that for us to be faithful, it depends on God. Our life and its sustenance. If our lives were cut short, we can never even do the very good things we ever thought of doing. So that's why Apostle James reminded us that it is wise to say that if the Lord will, I will live and do that. You see, he was telling those who think that they can travel to such a city and go and sell and make gain, and then they forget that it's God who indeed gives the energy, the life, and everything to do. So that when we talk of faithfulness, it's about God. Even human faithfulness depends on Him. And as for God, as we know that He's all sufficient God, and He's independent and of anyone and anything, and that He has everything to be faithful. So that for God, when we talk of faithfulness, it's Him. As I always say, all the attributes of God, even those that somehow communicable to us, the perfection is in Him. When we think of it entirely and its completeness is in Him, and as we think of His faithfulness this evening. So that only God is faithful, and that He will always be faithful. That's why in the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 7, He's called a faithful God. God who will ever keep all that He has said. So we have ways in which God's faithfulness is seen in Scripture. So we look at those ways. God's faithfulness is manifest in what He has said concerning this world. When we read God's word about this world, the things He has said, even about how things should run in this world, and as they continue to go on, we see His faithfulness. The first part, we see the seasons and times in this world. It's God, it was during creation that He set up seasons and times. And it has never run. Shall we turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 and 17, when the Lord Himself commanded seasons and time for us. Verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. You see, this is the beginning of time, when God made light and He began to set this in order. He said, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days, the light, both for night and day, for days and years. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it also. And God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. So we see that what we enjoy today, the sun during the day and the moon in the night, it was God's own ordering. He didn't just create these things. He arranged them in a manner, and then it has always been. There has always been night and day all the world over, though different people may have different times, but then all these things run ever since creation. And it is by His faithfulness that these things still run. Nobody can change seasons and times. Nobody. Nobody can turn back time. Only He can do that. Only He can stop these things. And by His faithfulness, these things are running for life to be sustained on earth. We can also, we can think of what He said concerning the preservation of the earth after the flood. What He said to Noah, we turn to Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. These are the words of the Lord to Noah and his children. And which means, the word to all the world, because we all came from them. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every creature, living creature, that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud upon the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the clouds, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every creature, every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. So we see that, ever since the history of the flood, there have been floods in various parts of the world. Accra, we know we have floods when it's rainy season, but there has never been a flood that has destroyed the world again. And this is God's faithfulness to His promise He made to all living creatures, and to us. We see that He is preserving the earth from destruction through flood. And God has been faithful to us ever since He made this promise to all creatures, living creatures. So it is that whatever God has said concerning even the future of this world, God will effectively perform. When we think of the judgment of sinners and also the destruction of the world by fire, God has promised that the future, God has told us in His word how the future of this world shall be. And we just read that in 2 Peter 3, verse 7 to 13. 2 Peter 3, verse 7 to 13. The Lord tells us how this world will end. No matter what people say about the end of the world, these are the words of the God of the faithful God whose word has ever been true. Man, let God be true and all men be liars. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then Peter adds this exhortation: seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, talking to believers according to His promise, look for a new heavens a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So that God has promised to destroy this earth, the element, the things He has created, to destroy them with fire. Well, and we know that many, some people think that, well, just, I mean some people say, God said it many years, what has happened? But God, we can look at the things that remain, the day and night, and the order of creation, how things are running. These are God's own commands for them to be so. And the same God has promised that in the future He will bring this. Who are we to doubt Him? He is faithful, He will make good His word. And that we should be sure that even those who don't believe it, it doesn't matter whether they believe it or not, God will definitely bring His fire to destroy the world He made, and also to bring sinners to condemnation, as we have here in the book of Apostle Peter. And also, believers look for a new heaven and a new earth. And this is a sure word of God. God has promised us that all those He has saved, all those He has redeemed by the blood of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when this world is destroyed, when this earth is destroyed, there is going to be a new place where dwelleth righteousness, where righteousness reigns, where Christ our Savior only will be the King over His people, and there the Lord has promised us, there He will give us. So we look out for that new heaven and new earth, so that we are sure that the Lord will bring it to pass, that He will give us what He has promised. His new heaven and new earth He will bring. Though we don't see it now, but as Peter says, 1,000 years like a day to Him. Again, we see God's faithfulness is manifested in the fulfillment of His promise to Israel of old in giving them the promised land. We know that God promised Abraham the land of Canaan, the promised land. God promised it to Abraham, and God made it good, that promise good. In the time of Joshua, God gave them the land that He promised. He gave everything to them. We turn to Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21, verse 43 to 45. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that He swore unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies unto their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And we are told in Judges that Israel could not drive all the people from the land. And that was all their fault. Because we are now reading Deuteronomy, the Lord said He would drive them little by little. So that they should be obedient and depend on the help of the Lord to drive them forward. But at the point when they were settled, they left. So God also left. But He gave them all the land He promised. So that any part they missed, they couldn't really conquer, it was their own fault. Because they were to depend on His help and to fight and drive all the people. The Lord gave them into their hand. At the point they made some to be servants in the land, which God never told them to do so. Because you remember the Deuteronomy chapter 7, He said that they should destroy these 7 nations. They shouldn't have anything to do with them. But they had something to do with them. So it became a snare to the people of Israel. We see the history of Israel in the book of Judges, and we see the trouble that came unto them because of this disobedience. But then God promised to give the land of Canaan, promised the Canaan land to Israel. Well, He did. And it showed that it's an instance of God's faithfulness, which is recorded for us. So that it testifies His faithfulness. God's faithfulness is also manifested in the fulfillment of what is said by prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the Lord Jesus Christ was incarnated in the flesh, there were many promises God made about Him. And the Lord Himself, by the scriptures, we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ will come through the Abraham descendants. And that you come to the tribe of Judah through the family line of David. And that was the promise made, and that was the prophecies about His coming into the flesh. That His coming, His incarnation in the flesh was prophesied. And the way He was going to come, God was faithful to maintain it. And as I told you, that lamentation, Jeremiah was thinking of, he said that God's faithfulness is so great, thinking that God, by his mercy, that they are not entirely consumed. And this is in connection to the incarnation of the Son of God. And we see that this promise in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, where God promised Abraham of the coming Messiah through him. Genesis chapter 18, verse chapter 22, verse 18. Genesis 22, verse 18. This is a promise the Lord made, God made to Abraham. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So here God made a promise to Abraham, and this promise was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, God has blessed all nations by with salvation. All the descendants of Abraham. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ alone that we can see this promise being realized when he came to be the Savior of the world. And also verse chapter 49, verse 10. Here also, Jacob speaking about the same thing. Blessing Judah, he said that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh here, referring to the Messiah, and until he comes, and so that Judah, from the tribe of Judah, there was going to be the king, the royal family, there will be the royal family, and the king will always be from them till Shiloh come. And we see that through that line, the Lord Jesus Christ came, and all the kings that came through King David throughout. And again, we find 2 Samuel chapter 7, similar promise made. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Here, God's promise to King David himself, confirming this promise that through their line that the Messiah was going to come. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to 13. This was a promise to David by the Lord through the prophet Nathan. And when thy days shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Here was a direct application to Solomon, but the extent and the final fulfillment was in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is him. He alone has that everlasting kingdom, his kingdom forever. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ who came through the big line that we have this promise fulfilled in its entirety. Though the immediate seed was Solomon, but the seed of the promise where the kingdom will preserve forever is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came through the family line of David. And this promise, God made it good to when he promised it to David. Also, God, there was a promise, there was a prophecy of him, which through the prophet were given, God's word was given, about the Messiah being born, to be born of a virgin, and also to live in virgin in Bethlehem, and also to dwell in Galilee. There was a promise we have in the Old Testament which were fulfilled in the New Testament. We have Micah 5 verse 2. Micah 5 verse 2. Prophet Micah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. This is a promise concerning the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he was to come. And he was talking about where he will be born and where he will be. Bethlehem. We know that he was born in Bethlehem. And we also have he to be born by a virgin, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the New Testament, we are being Emmanuel being interpreted God with us. This was it's a prophecy, which the words of prophet Isaiah to Ahaz, but its highest fulfillment was found in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he was born of a virgin. And we have chapter 9, verse 1 to 2, here too concerning his coming and his incarnation. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in heaven, when at the first he afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward, yet more grievously, afflicted by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them had a light shine. This, the reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and how his ministry was mostly based in Galilee. Because if you read the history of the people of Israel, Galilee was part of this tribe where Israel bordered with the other nations, and most of the time, Zebulun and Naphtali, these nations, there was a mixture of Gentiles because they were living in such. And we are told historically, the people of Israel, if you look on these people as not so much morally correct. Remember how the people in Jerusalem speak about the people, the disciples of Jesus Christ. They call them the Galileans, meaning like they are a despised people. So here, before the Lord Jesus Christ came, there was so much of moral darkness, spiritual darkness in this part of Israel. And interestingly, his ministry was mostly based in Galilee, around that area. So this is the promise, this is the prophecy about that. And Matthew chapter 4 verse 14 tells us of this fulfillment. Matthew chapter 4 verse 14. Let me start from verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is stronger. So you see that his ministry was based in this part of Israel. And indeed, that part, even the invasion of the kingdom of Assyria, they were the first people that were affected, both the first and the second. And they suffered, they often suffer much of the wars that the people of Israel, the enemies came to fight with them. So that, and though they were despised by many of the people of Israel, and yet God chose that's where the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ should be based. So most of his great things were done in Galilee. And this is the promise, and the Old Testament promise, and they knew about his incarnation, how he's going to even, where he was going to minister mostly, where the promises God made good to it, because it was exactly as it was promised. So we see God's faithfulness about even this portion of Christ, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, being concerning his ministry and how he was going to be born. Also, in the fulfillment of what was promised about Christ, we can also see God's faithfulness in this. In Psalms, about his death and resurrection, Psalm chapter 16, there was a prophecy about how he was going to, matters of his death, that he was going to resurrect after his death. He died. Psalm 16, verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. These are the words of David, but it was quoted in Acts by Peter, and it was a direct reference to Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. And if you read Acts chapter 2, it just tells us this about him. It speaks about how he was going to rise up after he died, that he will not remain in the grave. Acts chapter 2, verse 24 to 32. This was Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved. Whom God had raised up, having removed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And he went on to apply this. Let me just read some few verses. He said that verse 20, thou hast made known to me the way of life, thou shalt make me full of joy, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he should raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So we see the promise God, the word of God in Old Testament, even which David himself prophesied, was made good in the Lord Jesus Christ. That word about his resurrection from the dead, that he will not remain in corruption in the grave. And in the same thing, Apostle Paul also applies this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4, about Christ's resurrection, which was a fulfillment of God's faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. Verse 3, for I delivered, speaking about the gospel, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So that what the Lord Jesus Christ came to accomplish was according to what God has promised to faithfully perform, even about his life on earth, but according to the scriptures, meaning this shows the faithfulness of God. The word he spoke of old was fulfilled in time when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and it tells us that God is able to fulfill what he has said, and it tells us of his faithfulness even concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his life when he came on earth. But then let's go a bit further. We see that God's faithfulness was also manifested by Christ himself, the Son of God, in whom we clearly, have that picture of God in his perfection. We find this fully manifested by him, that he really, his own life really testified the faithfulness of God. We see that in his perfect obedience to the will of God, when the Lord Jesus Christ fully obeyed the will of God, he showed faithfulness. because I mean, we are supposed to, I mean, obey the will of God, and we, by our unfaithfulness, we are not able. But Christ, our representative, came to show that God's will can be obeyed, and only He can do that for us. So that though we are not able to obey His will, it is not that God's will is so huge that we cannot obey. He came to show us through Him we can have that blessing of obedience in God's will. And He shows His perfect faithfulness as we He Himself speak to us about His own faithfulness in John chapter 8, verse 29. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always do those things that please Him. I do always obey Him, do those things that please Him. Who can say that we can't? We often, when we walk unfaithfully with Him, but He said, I do always those things that please Him, that those things that He requires of his creatures and from us. In his human nature, he's able to please God entirely. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, God Himself confirmed of this, how God, the Lord Jesus Christ pleased Him. Matthew 3:17, during His baptism, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So it's also the claim of Lord Jesus Christ Himself, but then the Father also said He pleased Him. And this shows His faithfulness in obeying Him. And that is why He has perfect righteousness. Because that he who is able to obey God perfectly will have that perfect righteousness. That is why He's able to give us that. We also have the same thing in Philippians chapter 2, verse 18, talking of His obedience, which has to do with His faithfulness to God. And it is for us. Philippians 2 verse 8, talking about Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And being found in a fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that He was obedient to the will of God. It was the purpose of God that in the plan of salvation, Christ should come and fulfill these things. And He was faithful to do that. That which we cannot do, that which Adam cannot secure for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, by His faithfulness, He secured for us. But it shows to us that God is faithful. God, He is the Son of God. And by His character, we see perfectly God's character. Also, in his fulfilling all His work as our mediator and redeemer, that He who stands between us and God was faithful. He's faithful to be so for us. And we find this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to, I think, 15. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, He is the mediator of the new Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So we see here, He is the what? For this cause, verse 15, He is the mediator of the new covenant, of the new testament, and also we are also told of Him as securing eternal redemption for us. And He is, by His faithfulness, is able to completely being able to perform this thing, He showed His faithfulness, that nobody was able to stand between us and God. But when He took upon Him the work of our mediator and redeemer, He was able to accomplish that work. He was able to enter heaven is all for us. A complete fulfilling of that great work which now is able to do for us, and it manifests his faithfulness to that work that was given to him. He was able to accomplish it to the full, and it tells us of God's faithfulness. But what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ, that shows us who God is. His faithfulness was shown in this. Also, of the promise of Christ to save many by his sacrifice. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ promised that many will be saved by his sacrifice. We find this in John chapter 12, verse 32. John chapter 12, verse 32, and it says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Here is in reference to many that will be saved, those that will be saved through his sacrifice for us. I will draw one. "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Again, we have it in, he speaks about the same thing to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And look at what he says, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." So, his salvation of sinners, and that he's able to save us. He's faithful to save all who believe in him, because he has promised that after his death, all that the work that he did by his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, he's able to save all who come to him. And he has been faithful. We can read that those that were saving at the day of Pentecost, 3,000, and many. And then all the years through, even up to this time, many. Each one of us we saved is a fulfillment of this promise. He's continued to save people by the gospel. All who hear about the crucified Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ who was crucified, and believe on him, he saves. This is a fulfillment of this promise. And it shows his faithfulness. He has never cast anyone who come to rest himself on him to be saved. He is ever faithful. People are not saved because they don't want to rest themselves on him. They don't want to give their heart to him. But all who come to rest their hopes of salvation in him, he saves them. This shows his faithfulness. See that, none who comes to me, however, cast out. He will receive all who come to him. Our time is already gone. But then, he also has promised to send the Holy Spirit and his presence with us to the end of the world. Remember, he promised to send the Holy Spirit in John chapter 15, verse 26, and also Matthew 28:18, that he will be with believers to the end of the world. He has fulfilled it. Every believer can testify of the presence of him, because all the promises, his peace and his joy, and what he's able to make us to be, to really love the Lord, he really shows us to be. We're able to taste these things because he has promised to do this. So we see his faithfulness here also concerning these matters of sending the Holy Spirit. And when he ascended, the Holy Spirit came, and he has ever been with believers ever since. So we see it was a promise which he fulfilled and showed his faithfulness. Also, his promise to preserve his church. In Matthew 16:18, he said, "The gate of hell will not prevail against the church." And throughout the centuries, there have been false churches, but true churches has always been. Though they sometimes may be small, they may be few, but God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been faithful to keep his church, and he will keep it to the end of the world. You see, this shows his faithfulness. So that, as I said, by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see even in this few things we have looked at, we best understand somehow or somewhat or the faithfulness as it is in God. When we talk of God's faithfulness, when we read in depth, we read about the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are able to taste these things by our faith in him. We're able to realize all these things from him. And we realize that what God has promised he's able to do. And also that all the scripture that speaks to us about God's faithfulness is true, because we believers can taste this in the Lord Jesus Christ when he saves us, when he changes our heart, and when he makes us to be his people. So that we conclude by saying that by God's faithfulness, every believer is certain that all his promise to provide, to protect, to guide us, and to finally glorify us is true. That his promise to provide for our needs, and that is why in Hebrews 13:5-6, we are told not to be covetous at all, but to be content with whatever He provides for us, because by His faithfulness we have reason to believe that He provides for us. Let me read that to us quickly. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5-6. Exhortation for us to be content based on His faithfulness. So that, we may, from verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The fear of man, for us to be covetous, so that we want to accumulate more and keep it as if that will hold our life, and also the idea that what we have is not enough, and we are anxious about things of this world. If we trust in the faithfulness of the Lord to provide for us each and every day, and when our needs come up, we shall never be anxious. Lord Jesus Christ himself told us in Matthew that if the Lord feeds the bears and even clothed plants, how much more us? You see, so that these are promises, these are words that tells us that God is faithful to keep us, so that we should not be anxious. He has promised to provide for us, to protect and to guide us. He constantly does if we will trust in Him. Again, this also tells us that by His faithfulness, He's threatening to destroy this world with fire and to punish unrepentant sinners in hell forever, He will bring to pass. God, the word, every word of God will come to pass. In Matthew, Lord Jesus Christ said, everything that He has said will come to pass. Even that speaks to us about His deity. That was only God can say that all that He has said will come to pass. But then, let us know that the Lord who has saved us, our God who has called us into the fellowship of His Son, to make us His people, if we are believers, He is faithful to keep us. He is faithful, and all that He's promised to us, He's able to perform. May we ever trust in Him. May we ever be faithful to serve and to give ourselves to Him.